Father, we just thank you right now. We give you all honor and all glory. We thank you for being with us this night. We thank you for hovering over the body of Christ. We thank you, Father God, for chastising us when necessary. We thank you, Father God, for lifting us up, giving us hope, giving us peace and prosperity in all areas of our life. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you full recognition tonight of who you truly are over our lives and over this nation. And Father, let your glory fall upon your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Brother Allen gave me a little bit of news I didn't know. So, Brother Allen, how many died of the flu last year? 60,000. And the year before, how many was it?
80,000.
80,000. That was a regular flu. This is a flu virus also. They didn't put us under quarantine. They didn't make us stand in line to get food or go out on the curb to get food. They never advertised how many were dying that I know of. So I don't know what this is all about. All I know is that God is in control. The sooner we repent, and get in our place and God to where we're supposed to be, the sooner this thing is going to end. We don't give this thing any glory. We give God all the glory because God did say through a prophet that he brought this upon the land because his people would not repent. And he was not going to relent until they repented. So, you know, it's up to the body of Christ and pastors who are not living properly. It's up to them how long God does what he's doing. As you read the word, God would send angels to kill multitudes of people to help his people. He sent the plague for David because of David's sin, I should say. And when David repented, he told the angels to put up their swords and not kill anybody else. So let's put this thing all in perspective and know that we have a part to play in this, how long it lasts. We're just a handful, but you know, there's handfuls all over the world. There's a lot of churches with just 10 people in them. There's some churches with thousands in them. Some churches have closed their doors. See, we have to be walking in God's will, and this God told me when it started, do not close the church doors. First thing I did the first Wednesday night was put a close sign on the door. And God got on me, and he said, you should not have done that. So we took the church sign down, but we have to go by the law of the land, according to God's word, and we're not allowed to have any more than 10 people in the service at one time. We have to be 6 feet apart, so we're complying to that. But in the meantime, I don't feel like it's true church. I think we're being controlled and governed by something else. So, you know, it's up to each one of us to be in our face, seeking God's face, to get clarity in all things. I want each one of you in here to, I hope you took about the teaching about the gifts this morning seriously and realize what your gifts truly are. And to share what God is doing in your life so the body of Christ can be edified. All right? And I guess we're having trouble with what? The audio? Which part are we having trouble with? The video stream, and it's not us, it's the company, right? And the company's trying to work the little glitch out. But for now, we're going to go on and do what we're doing, not being concerned about what anybody is saying or doing. We're just going to go on and be with God. I had a sermon all together, and I mean all together, about darkness and gross darkness. I think that was the title. And always in the Sunday afternoons, I go over my sermon. So I have it in my spirit. And I see if I want to make any changes. Well, I went over that thing for 2 hours and it would not click. It clicked when I put it together. Sorry, God, we're going to go in a different direction. So he's saying, are you ready for what the future holds? So this is where we're going tonight. This clicked. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 15. That is why I always remember you in my prayers. And this is Paul talking to the Ephesians. That is why I always remember you in my prayers and thank God for you. I have done this ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Paul said, I always pray to the great and glorious Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that he will give you the Spirit who will let you know truth about God and help you understand them so that you will know him better. Now, if you're a shepherd, you should be praying it over your sheep all the time. And you people that have your ministries, you know, that you're putting on the videos now, you should be praying this over the people that are watching your videos. Paul said, I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth. Then you will know the hope that he has chosen us to have. Excuse me. You will know that the blessings God has promised his holy people are rich and glorious. He said, you will know that the blessings God has promised his holy people are rich and glorious. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. Who believe. It is the same as a mighty power he used to raise Christ from death and put him at his right side in the heavenly places. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers. Let's start that again to verse 21. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. He gave him authority over everything that has power in this world or in the next world. God gave Jesus all that power. So why do we give Satan all that power? God put everything under Christ's power and made him head over everything for the church. The church is Christ's body. It is filled with him. He makes everything complete in every way. Now, do you really believe that? You know, it's one thing to read it and to emphasize it, but do you really believe it? I'm here to say most of the body of Christ never read that scripture. Might have had it read to them. But if they did read it, they don't really believe it, because if they really believed it, we wouldn't be in the state that we're in today. Right? All right, that's our scripture. Now, this is what God has to say. My question for you is this. Are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? I'm going to stop it, because when Brother Aaron opened up for praise and worship, what was that first song, Smile? He says, this will make you happy, or something like that. And God said, no, it won't. And he's true. Many people would sing that song or hear that song. I heard it just right before I turned my car off. And then that was our first song. They hear that song, but it doesn't do nothing for them. Okay, let's just sing the bouncing, the words on the thing, with the bouncing ball. Remember that? So that's what I think that most Christians do, is they follow the bouncing ball and it never gets into their spirit. And that's why you're so bound up. All right? Now, my question for you is this. God speaking, are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? The correct answer would be an astounding no. You are really not ready for what the future holds for you. You walk around as if you know all things, and you have not comprehended the smallest thing around about you. There is so much coming in the near future that will totally and completely take you off your feet. Children, behold this day that, yes, it is reaping the harvest time, and it is total miracle working time, but you must also come to grips with the fact that the darkness will overcome you if you do not level yourselves out and become level-headed and well-rounded. I've got to read that again because this is my pet peeve, all right? But this is God speaking, not me. Children, behold this day that, yes, it is reaping the harvest time, and it is total miracle working time, but you must also come to grips with the fact that the darkness will overcome you if you do not level yourselves out and become level-headed and well-rounded. Now, let's just stop there. That's the big problem with the body of Christ. It's not level-headed, and it's sure not well-rounded. You get on a road, and boy, you run for it. You don't even see where you're going. You just run. And you don't bother asking God, well, what's this all about? And, you know, when somebody's trying to teach you something new, you act like you know it all, and you don't know nothing. And, you know, and it's a mess. It's truly a mess. God cannot run a church with people who think they know it all. And if you were in one of our staff meetings, the staff would tell you, I'd certainly tell them, I don't know what this is all about, so somebody explain it to me. I don't know. And I don't mind saying I don't know, because I don't know it all. I do know a lot of things spiritual, but I don't know this media stuff we go through. I don't know that. And there's some spiritual things I don't quite understand. And so I just lay it before the Father until he wants to explain it to me. And I don't rush him. He knows I need an answer, and he knows when I need it. I didn't need it when I asked for it, but down the line, I'll need it. Okay? God said, the very minute I allow miracles happen on your watch, you go off with a big head and you think you have attained and you open a crack for the enemy to come through. I watched you guys there and just learned how to prophesy. My goodness, you made a what do you call it, chismer? You are a big gap. It went a little crack. You made a big gap. Or I see if, you know, God uses somebody to heal somebody, then they think they have it all. Boy, I'm the big healer. And God just moved through you because somebody wanted to heal. Get out of here. It's never you. It's always God. And, you know, you can prophesy out of your own flesh. And, you know, we all know that. I can't, but you can, because I've listened to you. I've listened to other prophets prophesy out of their own flesh. I don't know how you do that, but it's done. Quit wanting to be it all. And let God move through you. This is why God said spirit is calling to spirit. If we're not walking in the spirit, it's going to be your flesh acting out. And I know you're not walking in the spirit because I watch you. Come on, body of Christ. Let's get it together so this virus leaves. All right. God said if you were totally humble, you would not be going around bragging about what you accomplished. Instead, you would be giving me glory for what I used you to accomplish. Luke 10:17 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to you, to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There's nothing to him. You know, but Jesus was saying, well, big whoop. What's the big deal here? Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Guess what? I did a deliverance, and boy, them demons screamed and chattered and ran out like crazy. God saying, big whoop. Isn't that what he just said? He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, because we know they are, but we just don't use the authority that Jesus has given us to make the devils flee. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I don't care, God, if you never use me for anything. Just thank God my name's up there. And one day I'm going to escape this mess and be up there with you in heavenly places. Amen. Mark 16:14 says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. God will rebuke you for your unbelief, because he did me one time. He said, if you don't get out of this a doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. And he didn't say it nicely, So don't get on me if I don't say something nicely. If you're really listening, God's not speaking to you nicely at times, is he, Brother Brad? No. Verse 15, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say stay in the Lighthouse Church and prophesy, did he? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, now look at this, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So what do you get all puffed up about when all these things happen, that God used you to do these things? So what did he say back there? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. I mean, you know, if you believe, these are what you're going to do. It's just a natural given thing. It's not something, you know, to walk around glorifying yourself about, right? I was accused of that one a couple Sundays ago. Anyhow, let's go back. Where are we at now? Verse 19, Brett. Yeah. So then after the Lord had spoken to the disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. See that? See what happened there? The disciples, after Jesus went to heaven, you know, after he was crucified, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So the disciples believed, finally, and then when they went out and ministered, the miracles started happening. All right? God says, this is a total new dispensation of time, and you will see things that you have never seen before, and if you're not watchful, it will take you off course, which is pride. I want you so well-rounded that nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will take you off course, for you will know all things before they ever come to pass. This is a time that my servant Joel spoke about. Now, God said, I want you to be well-rounded, so that nothing takes you off course. And he goes on to say, you will know all things before they ever come to pass. Now, does God tell you things before they come to pass? Maybe it's because you're not well-rounded. Maybe it's because you're a little bit lopsided or squared or something. But you're not well-rounded. You're not allowing God to verse you in all things. And when you think you become a know-it-all, then you've just taking yourself right out of God's hands. He can't use you. And when you think you're the boss, everybody, feel important, you aren't in God's hands at all. So I want you all to remember that. God has placed, we heard this morning, where God has placed each one of us in the body so we could edify one another. Not so we could lord it over one another, right? So we could edify one another. God said then, the words that my former prophets of old spoke about are coming on the scene in this dispensation of time. So think it not a strange thing when I say old things are passed away and everything is becoming brand new. I don't know how many times he's told you that old things are passing away and everything's becoming brand new, but I keep seeing the old things just keep recirculating. What is the problem here, right? And don't shake your head no at me. If you watch people, you see they keep going back in their old ways. They're not teachable because they're in their own gopher wheel, whatever they are, you know, the thing that goes on their wheel, the gopher, whatever it is. Oh, it's hamster, okay. And you're just in there spinning the wheel around and around. You're not getting anywhere. You're not really learning. You're not absorbing things, as I want to hear God say. You're not absorbing what he's trying to tell you. John 13:19 says, Jesus said, I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. And Isaiah 42:9 says, "In the past I told you what would happen, and it happened. Now I am telling you something new, and I'm telling you now before it happens." Each one of you in here, especially you, Aaron, you should be hearing God's voice about things that are coming across the earth before they ever do. And I haven't heard you tell me that. Brother Christopher knows things before they ever happen. If you really are well-rounded and really in tune to God's voice, you should be a voice out there in the wilderness crying, "Repent." You should be the one saying, "This is what God's told me is going to happen." Now, let's not get off course here and sit down and write a big old page. "This is what God just told me." You know, let God really tell you something. Brother Allen sent me a prophetic word. I said, "I wish you just sent this when you got it, because it's right on target." I don't care if he's messed up, you know, and doesn't understand things. I mean, just doesn't understand things, that means messed up. God still is speaking to him about what's coming across the land. He always has been. All right? We just sang that song there that, you know, that God keeps, whatever he does, he keeps getting us no matter how bad we are, right? All right. Isaiah 46:10. "In the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. A long time ago, I told you things that have not happened yet. When I plan something, it happens. I do whatever I want to do." I was looking back at my prophetic words. God told us that this devastation was going to come upon us. He told us recession was going to be mixed into it. He told us a lot of people were going to die. But we didn't pay attention fully. We only understood in part. We should have been on our face until we understood in whole, right? Sometimes we get a word and say, "Oh, this is what God said." Then we let it go. But God wants you to meditate on it. He wants you to seek his face until you know the entirety of what he's saying. Have I stepped on enough of your toes yet? Are you? You want to go change your shoes? All right, God said, "If ever there was a time to pay attention and get prepared, it is now. For if you don't get prepared and pay attention, the enemy will surely come rushing into your lives and take you over with doubt, unbelief, and confusion. The enemy is a mastermind of these dark things. He goes unhindered in his dark walk in your mind unless you make him leave." That's why I said this morning, you need to forgive, and move on. And as long as you allow the enemy to walk through your mind, telling you all this junk over and over again, he has you bound. You're not even free to work for God, to tell you the truth. You're really not. God said you have all the power and authority you need to make him leave your mind, will, and emotions. You need not tolerate anything he throws your way. And if I remember Wednesday night, Brother Aaron taught on, tell me somebody, what did he teach on? On the courtroom, going to the courtroom. But what was the other thing? Of last something or other. Was it on the courtroom or last resort? Oh, okay, slightly. See, I wasn't here, and I haven't listened to it yet. But he taught you Wednesday night about the courtroom. They have been teaching on the courtroom for quite some time now. There are books back there on the courtroom, but the people who write the books don't go to the courtroom either. See what I'm saying? You have this revelation, you write about it, but you don't live it. Do you see this? I'm going to be quiet before I get myself in trouble. You're going to make me leave. All right. I don't know where I'm at. God said, you need to always know with all surety of heart that I have your back and my angelic army is forever on the move fighting your battles for you. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but God tells me over and over again, daughter, I have your back. Keep marching forward because I do have your back and the enemy's not going to be able to take you out. And right there he tells us he has our back. So if you can really get that down into your little thick skull and from there down into your heart and into your spirit, man, you won't worry about what the enemy's doing because You know that God has your back. God told me I was going to go into some terrible trials and tribulations a while back, and I am going through them. And God said, you're going to have to go through these alone. It's just you and I. Of course, I have the intercessors who pray for me, but I have to do my part too. I have to be constantly seeking God's face, constantly understanding what's going on, and therefore then I know how to constantly pray. And when I'm betwixt and between and don't understand, well, then I have a few little you guys in the church here that do hear from God, and then you send it to me, and it helps me get out of that little spot that I'm in that I've got stuck in. You understand that? See, if we would all do this, God could do that to everybody. Nobody would ever be stuck in a spot. But everybody sitting in their home saying, oh, well, you know, I got this. No, you don't. If you got it, you'd be in heaven, right? Come on. Why are we afraid to say you don't got it? Why are we afraid to admit I don't know something? Well, you sit there, of course I can do this. I know exactly how. You don't know tiddly nothing about what I just asked you to do, but you'll sit there and say you do. You run home real quick and get on that there little Google and Google it all up so you know what you're talking about, but you don't know anything about it when I'm asking you about it. You should say, no, I don't know, but I'll go home and I'll find out. See, because I'm thinking, oh, wow, they're really intelligent. And I find out, no, they weren't intelligent at all. They were just, what do you call it? They're just faking it, right? How many Christians do you know that fake it? Right? I saw you roll your eyes a lot, right? They fake it until they make it. It's not going to work anymore. You can't fake this. You have to get well-rounded. You have to be honest and truthful. All right, God said, you're only concerned at this given dispensation of time is what I am calling you forth to do, and as you do my bidding, I will be fighting your battles for you. I say to God a lot, I say, God, I'm glad you're fighting those battles around that I don't see, because this news about to take me under. How many of you can say that amen to that? You know, that you're fighting a battle that's about to take you out, but you know there's more raging around the corner, and God has those all under control. He's not going to let those battles come your way when you can't handle them. He's not going to let you be defeated. What? You got to get this together here. God said, you cannot be listening to my voice of instruction and the voice of the enemy at the same time. For you can only obey one voice at a time, and the voice you should be obeying is your Father's in heaven. God said, this is total resurrection time. This is the moment and the hour for all things to come into fruition that I have spoken over your lives and over this nation. This is a time when my mighty army needs to be going forth into battle and not lingering behind. God told us this was Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Now all of a sudden there's some more prophets coming out there saying this year is a year of Jubilee. But God told us way back it was a year of Jubilee. But how many have stepped into the year of Jubilee? The year of more than enough. The year of abundance, where God's going to take care of every one of your needs. Not desires, but your needs. He's going to take care of you. But you don't believe that. So you struggle. God said, remember what happened to David when he did not go into battle and stayed behind. He sinned and lost his child. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 says, in the spring, when kings go out to war, David sent Joab, his officers, and all the Israelites out to destroy the Ammonites. Joab's army surrounded their capital city. David stayed in Jerusalem. He was a king. He should have been out fighting. You know, that's probably why a lot of pastors get in trouble. They fake sickness, and they stay home, and they get into pornography, and if they'd been at their post, they wouldn't have done that. I just said that. But that's even with people. If they would be where they should be, they wouldn't be sneaking around the corner watching pornography or whatever they do. Are you listening here? You aren't at your station. Therefore, the enemy can take you out. Verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his house. From there, he saw a woman bathing. She was very beautiful. So David sent for his officers and asked him who she was. An officer answered, that is Bathsheba. That was a lustful little guy, wasn't he? That is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent messengers to God and bring Bathsheba to him. She had just purified herself after a monthly time of bleeding. She went to David. He had sexual relations with her, and then she went back to her house. Excuse me. Later, Bathsheba became pregnant, and she sent word to him saying, I am pregnant. Oh, but that little king about dropped his crown, right? Now he was in trouble, right? He wasn't out the battle, but now he is in a battle. In 2 Samuel 12:14, but you did things that made the Lord's enemies lose their respect for him. So your new baby son will die. That's what the prophet told David. Your new baby son will die. Let's look at Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's go back here where David sinned. His sin cost him his son. And if you read the story, David did one, when he did one wrong thing, it just snowballed into a whole lot of wrong things. And the final thing was, he lost his son. So what are you doing wrong that's starting to snowball, and it's going to have the snowball effect and cause you to lose something powerful, your ministry, your mantle? What are you doing wrong that you shouldn't be doing wrong? You need to think about this. So then Matthew 28:18 said, and Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If you're his disciple, if you're truly a born-again child of God, truly committed to God, this is what Jesus is saying to you. All authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. And then he gives you instructions. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What are they supposed to go do? Go, therefore, and make other disciples. You just don't hold the title yourself and don't teach anybody else. You make other disciples, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. If you're a disciple, if God's made you a disciple, then, if you're a child of God and you know that God's word, you're supposed to be a disciple anyhow. You're supposed to be out there ministering to everybody that you meet. And God says, teach them what you know. So don't go out there if you don't know nothing. When you go out there to disciple somebody else, you better be in right standing with God, walking in total holiness, total purity of heart. And God kept using that word purity of heart today. He wants your heart sanctified to him. And then when he sends you forth, you will go forth in truth and in power, and you will win disciples. All right. Now, I'm going to use Brother Aaron again. Brother Aaron, when I was first born again and God called me to be an evangelist, I went out and I evangelized. And I was in Virginia, right close to your home, and I was holding a house meeting. And the men in there just come up just crying and hugging me, and tell me how much they love me and everything. And my mother said later, did you see all them lustful men? I said, Mom, they weren't lusting after me. That was the Holy Spirit drawing them to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. And they each gave their heart to God that night. So see, if you really are a true disciple, if you're really walking in holiness and purity of heart, when you go out there to disciple, the Spirit of God that's pure inside of you will draw people to you, the Spirit of God inside of you. So I'm using Aaron to say, Aaron, if some woman comes up, I want, carrying on, she doesn't want you. She wants the Spirit of God that's in you, and you need to lead her to Christ, not to you. Amen. That's the way it goes. But let some woman come up there and give you an eyeball, and boy, you're ready to just do all kind of dumb stuff because you're not a true disciple yet. You're not sold out totally and completely to God. Not well-rounded. I'm hearing God say you're not versed enough in his word. Where am I at? Jesus has given this very same power and authority to every believer, we just read about. If we are to defeat the enemy in this end time dispensation, we must live in that power and in that authority. Come on. God's speaking to each one of you sitting in here tonight. Because you're not well-rounded yet. God's trying to get you well-rounded so that you'll quit messing up. Matthew 16:18. And Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I hope that you read that scripture. You are supposed to be the rock. You are supposed to be the one that God can use to build the church. You are not supposed to be a clump of sand. What did Jesus tell Peter? "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," he was going to use Peter to further the gospel. Now, Jesus was going to build his church. The church was going to advance. The gates of Hades could not withstand it. Isn't that what he just said? Jesus is saying that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. I hear that so much I want to spit. Because people just say that. It doesn't mean anything to them. They've heard it and it sounds good, so they just say it. If you really believe that when you say it, boy, all hell would tremble and you'd have an earthquake under your feet. But see, the body of Christ doesn't believe that. They just say these things. God's power is greater than the power of the enemy. When there is a head-on conflict between the power of the enemy and the power of God, the power of the enemy will lose every time. So guys, you have to have the power of God residing within you when you go out there to bang heads with the enemy. I know I've been there, done that, and I'm not going to go through, but I'm going to tell you, you guys don't have the power of God within you the way you need to, or the enemy would not knock you off course over and over and over again. You would be like me, and you get cocky and say, "You can't touch me." And then he says, "I'll show you what I can do to you." And he did. And he did. But that's okay. It's better to be that way than for you to go over into his camp again. All right. And God will tell you when you're going to go into a warfare, and he'll tell you exactly how it's going to turn out. He'll tell you you're going to go through hell for a season. But then it's going to end, and then you're going to be rejoicing. But while you're in there, you're not rejoicing. Amen. That's why God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be rejoicing even in the midst of our biggest battle. How many of you have to make yourself rejoice every day? That old enemy comes, doesn't he? That bald-faced liar. He comes and he fights and he fights. He does not give up easily, does he? Well, why do you? Why don't you use the power of God that's in you and make him back down? Okay. God's question to us was, are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? The only way we can be ready for what the future holds for us is by walking in all the power and authority Jesus gave to us. You see, how can I walk in this power and authority? Why do you think God invited us to live in the third heaven? It was so we could walk in this power and authority Jesus gave us. If we are not abiding in the third heaven, we will not be able to use all the power and authority given to us as believers. We know that the world we live in has two realms, the natural and the spiritual. We need to be able to know how to live in the spiritual realm in a way that affects the natural realm. You know, and I'm no different than you, because God has me on a new venture, and I don't know what lies ahead of me. He tells me to walk one day at a time, which I do. And, you know, and sometimes I just sit before God, you know, for quite a while and say, "God, I really need to hear some answers." He doesn't tell me nothing. He just says, one day at a time, one second at a time. Because he knows, like he did before, that I couldn't stand to hear everything that I'm going to have to go through. to get where I have to go. Do you understand that? So don't quit trying to coerce God into telling you something. You know, if he's just saying be still, then be still. If the enemy's speaking in your other ear saying, God's finished with you, you're done, he's not talking to you no more, you have to tell that ear to clog up, because you're not listening to the voice of God. I mean, Satan, you're listening to the voice of God, right? And don't tell me he doesn't do that to you, because I know he does he not? You know, God has no respecter of persons, and neither is Satan. He'll take out anybody he can take out, and he'll do it any way he can. He doesn't really care. He's a dirty fighter. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, I know that some of you will have become proud, thinking that I'm afraid to come to deal with you. But I will come in soon, if the Lord will let me, and then I'll find out whether these proud men are just big talkers or whether they really have God's power. The kingdom of God is not just talking, it is living by God's power. These men were shooting their mouth off when he wasn't present, but he was going to come and he was going to see what they was really made of. How many of you know people have talked about you, but you get in their face, hi, how are you? You know, you just want to pop them in the nose, right? Come on. I'm so glad to see you. No, they're not. Right? They wished you, and they never opened the door. Isn't that, that's the truth, is it not? Yeah, it sure is. This is the world we live in. Paul says in these verses that he is coming to Corinth to see the teachers that are there, and he is not coming to hear their words, but he is coming to see the power in their lives. And what's that power? Fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? For the kingdom of God is not words, but it is power. Some of us need to learn to shut up. Right? We need some tape over our mouth. Quit speaking so many words and just allow the Spirit to move. If you ever call me sometime if we're talking, I say, I just really have to go. I'll talk to you later. It's because I ran out of all the words that I've run out of everything God wanted to say, and now my mind is getting in confusion because the devil wants me to say things I know I shouldn't be saying. So I'm going. What's wrong with that? Why don't more of you do that? God's finished here, and we need to hang up, or we're going to say things we shouldn't be saying. It causes a lot of confusion, right? God says, my children, you must walk in the power given to you at all times. This dispensation of time is exactly that. Miracle working power, power to raise the dead. You do not have that kind of power when you're not well-rounded. You don't have that kind of power when you're trying to usurp your authority over people. You don't have that kind of power whenever you want to be the head. When God doesn't, he still has you the tail. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't given you authority, but you're going to take it anyhow. And you're going to do things out of your flesh that's hurting other people. We just need to learn to walk in the Spirit. So he said, this dispensation of time is exactly that, miracle-working power, power to raise the dead, power to see the kingdom of darkness tumble, power to walk on water. With this power, there is nothing impossible for you. It is impossible time, little ones. It is time to make all things possible through the power given to you through Christ Jesus by my one and only Son. The entire world is waiting for you to grasp hold of this reality today, this reality of the unseen realm. Now, I serve a God who gave me permission to say somebody would live or die. What kind of a God do you serve? I know you love him, daughter. If I take him now, he'll go to heaven, but if I don't, he won't ever serve me. But the choice is yours. Can I take him now, or you want him to live? Whatever you say, that's what I'll do. That is the power of God within inside of you, where God thinks so much of you that he'll let you in and make a decision. But see, he did that with me because he knew I was going to make the right decision. He knew that I would not command that he let this young man live. You see this? Some of you, he wouldn't ask that question because he'd know you'd do something dumb. Even though I've lost some loved ones, you know, I didn't want them to die, but I said, God, if it's your will, you take them. But if it's not your will, I'd love you to let them live. But your will be done here, Father. And he said, I'm going to take them. So, you know, you do have power with God. And you can take him to the courtroom and argue with him. I didn't know that's what I was doing. But, you know, you can argue with him. But I'm hoping that you have enough power and enough God in you that you won't demand your own way when that's not the best for the one you're praying for. Some of you might go to the courtroom and say, kill him. But God's not ready to take them. You know, then he has to explain to you why they're not ready to go. All right, this the last loved one that died. I said, God, why are you making them suffer? Why aren't you taking them? He's not right with me, and he won't go to heaven. I'm giving him a chance to get right. And the minute he got right, God took him. He told me why he wasn't taking him. And so I told him, I says, you know, do you really know God? Do you really know if you're going to go to heaven? He said, I'm not sure. And so then we did what we had to do. And then he was ready. I mean, just like that. He went. He went to looking like a very healthy man, even though he's sick healthy, to looking like a skeleton the next day. Then the next day he left. That's how quickly God works. So maybe if somebody you love is suffering and you don't know why, ask God why. God will tell you if you're walking close to him. Amos 9, and don't go before God and say, oh God, why aren't you taking them? And then your fleshly mind said, because they're not right yet, daughter. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amos chapter 9, verse 12. I don't know why I said that, but it's out there now. Amos 9, 12. This is what the Lord said, and he will make it happen. In verse 13, the Lord says, a time of great blessing is coming. Workers will still be harvesting when it is time to plow the fields again. They will still be trampling the grapes when it is time for a new crop. Sweet wine will drip from the mountains and pour from the hills. God says, This is what the Lord said, and he will make it happen. And he went on to say what's going to happen. Time as we have known it is over. Time as we've known it is over. There are different times now. You and I have entered into a sliver of time, a little narrow band of time, which is the biggest and perhaps the most important block of time since the creation of Adam. We've been saying this for, what, a couple years now, 2 or 3 years. This is the most important time in the church's history. And the church is going to see things that the church has never seen before. New revelation was going to come out of the Bible that has never been brought out of the Bible before. And if I was you, I'd be excited that I'm living in such a time. And I am glad I'm living in such a time. Because I'm excited to see what God is going to reveal to the earth. You know, to the church, to us, individually, corporately, as you bring and you share with what God is telling you. We have stepped over into the spiritual realm and the natural into exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and that's in Ephesians 3:20. We have stepped over in the spiritual realm and the natural at the same time. John 6:5 says, records the event where Jesus took the basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and fed thousands of people. There's nobody in this room tonight that should be afraid that you aren't going to have anything to eat. Some of us need to be faking of food for a while. We need to lose some weight. But you don't have to fear that you're going to starve to death, because God is not going to let his people starve. He promised that before all this stuff started. Those who are walking close to me, I will provide for them. So you have nothing to fear. but yet you still walk in fear. And they keep saying, you know, money this, money that, money the other. Quit walking in fear. God said, I'm going to supply all your needs. I'm going to take care of you. And that's what he means. He's going to take care of you. He knows your needs. He is going to take care of you. So why are you fearful? When there's no money in your coffer, check yourself. What have you done wrong to stop the flow of finances? Come on. All right, so I said John 6:5-13 records the event where Jesus took the basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people. The disciples told Jesus there was a boy here with some bread and a couple of fish. Jesus asked for the food, and they got it for him. He took it, looked toward heaven, gave thanks for it, blessed it, broke it, and distributed it among his disciples. They, in turn, took the food and distributed it among the people. And they distributed it to approximately 20,000 people. Then they went back and picked up all the leftovers. There was 12 baskets full. If there was ever a picture of exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, this is it, is it not? God can do that. Now, if you're wasteful with your food, don't ask God to bless you because he's not going to. You're supposed to take care of what you have. And it's time you quit being nitpicky about what you're eating. It's time you learn to eat what you have in your cupboards. My little boys are learning to eat things they never ate before. There were thousands, okay, we're still talking about this story. There were thousands of people eating until they were full and 12 baskets filled with leftovers. Today, people say, what a wonderful miracle. And they are right, it was a miracle. The growing time for the seed the little boy planted in Jesus' ministry was instant. God said, in the wink of my eye, I can do anything for you, daughter. And I believe in that. I'll believe that until the day I talk to him in heaven. Because he spoke it to me. Whatever you have need of, whatever miracle you have, I'll just blink my eye and you're going to have it. You don't have to worry about nothing. Can God say that to you? Can he trust you with everything? Are you walking close to him? Are you being a loving wife or a loving husband? Are you loving your children as God taught us to? If you're not, then don't expect any miracles because you're not going to get it. God's not going to bless your mouth. He is not. Believe me, I know. This is where we are at today. The instant we speak, things will happen. We will be walking in the abundant overflow of the power and authority of Jesus, and all things will bow. Notice the scripture said, Jesus took the bread and looked to heaven. How many times has God said, you look up to me and keep your eyes on my eyes? Don't look to the right or to the left. This is where the body is lacking. We don't keep looking to heaven for God's abundant blessing. Well, I wish somebody sent me a check in the mail today. Yeah, I blew it and didn't do what God told me to do. So now my finances have stopped flowing. And now I want God to perform a miracle. Get out of here. He's not going to do it until you turn around and do what's right, what he told you to do in the first place. All right. Notice the scripture said, Jesus took the bread and looked to heaven. I read that, didn't I? Christ has given every follower his power and authority to defeat Satan and all evils. Every believer, not just you or not the guy next to you, but 6 feet away from you, but every believer. Are you a believer? Some of you don't look like you're sure of that. Are you a believer? Come on. Christ has given every believer his power and authority to defeat Satan and all evil spirits. Are you ready to walk in his abundant power and authority? God's question to you. I said it, but it's God's question to you. You know, I'm hearing God say, some of you haven't learned yet to give me a sacrifice of praise. Instead, you give people around you a sacrifice of complaint. Come on. God's really sticking his thumb in you married people. You aren't living right. God's getting ready to take some of your mantles away from you if you don't straighten up. So don't cry when he does, because he's giving you fair warning tonight. He's told you to love your husband, love your wife, love your kids. And somebody said, well, you don't have to live with them. Well, that's when you love the unlovable, right? They don't live with them either, right? The thing goes both ways. But I know sometimes, like God's been showing me, the scale's off and there's one spouse down here messing everything up, while the other's up here trying to keep everything on an even keel. So you married people in here that's not living right. I would get it right really soon. Or are you going to find yourself losing out and everything? Aren't you glad you're not married? Aren't you glad you're not married? I'm so glad I'm not married. Okay. Be careful what you ask God for. You know, I have the two boys. And I said, God, you know, I just need some space here. I have, you know, the boys 24/7, and anybody calls me on the phone knows what a phone call's like with my two boys. Well, Saturday, Isaiah stayed downstairs all day playing, and Gabriel went with Teddy. And when he came home, he stayed over in her room all day. I was beside myself. I said, where are my kids? God, I won't ever complain again. I won't ever ask for any space, because that was terrible. I felt so alone and so rejected. Not rejected, but just so alone. And Isaiah usually comes into the room about every 15 minutes, make sure I'm still there. Well, he might have come in every 3 hours. I said, what are you doing? I'm still playing downstairs. I'm fine. If you want to see me, you can come down there, he said. And he was. He's down there playing very nicely. But God let me see, I really didn't want what I was asking for. So what are you asking God for? Might not want what you're asking for. All right. God is good. He's good now. He was good before. He's good now. And he's going to be good until the day we go to heaven. You can either live in the blessings or you can live in the curse. It's up to you. If you don't learn how to love, you're going to always walk in the curse. That's just bottom line. And if you can't, and you're like God told you before, if you can't love your spouse, then God will cause a divorce to happen. Then once you lose your spouse, you wish you had straightened up. It's going to be too late. All right. Father, I thank you and I praise you, and I just give you all honor and all glory. God says the altar call that he's given tonight, you can't get out of your seats, that's where you're at. The altar call he's given tonight is for you to truly surrender all of yourself to him tonight. And as you truly surrender all yourself to him, he's going to let you see what love is all about. And you wives in here, you aren't being good wives, and God's upset with you. He's going to let you see what your heart's all about. And he wants you to get it right when he shows it to you. He's saying, in fact, he doesn't have to show it to you. You already know you're not right. So tonight, as you sit in your seats, as God's glory descends down upon you, he wants to open up your heart. He wants to split it wide open. And he wants to take all the junk out of it. And once he has all the junk out, then he wants to fill it full of his love, his compassion, his understanding, and his truth. Some of you aren't truthful to yourself. He wants to make you every bit whole, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Just receive that power and that authority from on high right now. And you men, as you're sitting in the presence of the Father, he wants to make you a true, strong tower that others can run into. And God's saying he's given you power and authority to stand up to the Jezebels and your wives and to defeat them in the courtroom of heaven. He's given you power and authority over the enemy right now that's trying to destroy your marriages. And even you men that aren't married, God wants to give you power and authority right now to love the unlovable. Love those who are even coming against you right now. Love those who have spoken against you. And you've had leaders over you who abused your authority and caused your heart to be bruised and battered. God wants to heal all that tonight. He wants to take you up into the throne of grace. Just let him take you to the throne of grace right now. He wants you to sit in his presence where all power and all authority resides. And there's that electricity thing. He's saying you'll be electrified by his love, by his power, by his authority. And he said you'll find yourselves no longer being tore down, battered and bruised, but you'll find yourself standing as Jesus stood, not wanting to be vindicated, but just knowing that you belong to the Father and that he is your vindicator. Just hold him tight right now. Just hold him real tight to your bosom. Allow him to place his power and his authority deep within. There's many watching this tonight, and God was saying unto you, I am that I am. And I am with each and every one of you also. I am not a father of distance. I have been with you all night. And right now I am holding you in my arms. And I am lifting you up into my heavenly realms. And I am transferring the power and authority into each one of you. And I say unto you this night, speak, and the enemy has to flee. Praise me at all times. Let the joy of the Lord well up inside of you right now. Know that I am able, and know that I will. You are my beloved ones, and I so want to minister peace to your soul. Allow me in tonight, totally and completely. Allow me to cover you with my pinions. Allow the blood of my Son Jesus to be poured over you, where the enemy cannot pass through and touch you ever again. Be still and know that I am God of the universe, and I am totally and completely in control of all things. You know, God wants you to know tonight that he doesn't make bastard children. He makes you perfect in all of your ways. And he wants you to hold on to that promise. And every time the enemy comes at you and tells you God doesn't love you, you remind him of who you are in Christ. And you move on and make the enemy eat your dust.